I'll start with our opening statement. Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional lands and waters of the Paramank and Kaurna people. They are custodians of this ancient and beautiful land, and so we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We will care for this country together by ensuring the decisions we make will be guided by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. Now, I do have an apology tonight from Councillor Boyd, and we do have two leaves of absence. That's Councillor Huxter and Councillor Herman. We don't have any other absences. So going straight to item four on the agenda, this is the minutes of previous meetings. So I'm looking for someone to move that we pass the meetings. Thank you, Councillor Daniel. And needing a seconder, thank you, Councillor Grant. All those in favour, please, for accepting the minutes. Thank you very much. Carried unanimously. All right, does anyone wish to make a declaration of a conflict of interest for any item on the agenda? All right, take that as a no. Thank you very much. So item six on the agenda, I do have a couple of opening remarks, and I wanted to introduce our acting CEO, which is Mr. Crackett, and I thank him very much for putting up his hand for being in that position for this week whilst David Waters is on leave. Now, of course, now that David Waters is on leave, that means that's the end of his time as acting as well. So, and I'm sorry, I hadn't realised at the time when we had the last meeting that that was actually David's last meeting. So what I'm going to do later on is I'm just going to foreshadow a motion without notice so that later on we will thank David for the work that he's done so it's officially recorded. And of course that then means Mr. Crackett's with us for a week and our new CEO will be starting on the 17th, and that is providing he can actually get off the island, which is what Mel will know, the problems of bad weather and not being able to get on or off the island. So just the last thing is to remind councillors that after our meeting this evening we do have some confidential briefings, so please stay behind for those. Item seven on the agenda, we have no questions adjourned. We have nothing lying on the table. We don't have a petition, but we do this evening have a deputation. So I'd like to invite now Mary McLucas to come forward. And she's going to present on the Save Our Wildlife Foundation and the need for funding. So. If you would like to press the button on there, Marion, you'll see the red light come on. Yeah, so that means
that's
you're now on.
I don't have to sit too close, do I?
Yeah, so what we do in the deputations... Sorry, I'm just going to check a note. So what we do is we give our deputies 10 minutes to speak, but after that you can also, if you're willing to, accept questions from the councillors. All right, so I'm going to say over to you. The floor is yours for the next 10 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor, and councillors for having me. Is that right?
Yes, you have your...
Oh, I have my little clicker here. Oh, I need my glasses for that. Okay, yeah, I think I've got that. Thank you very much for having me here tonight. My name's Marion McLucas. I'm a wildlife rehabilitator, a rescuer. I work on the 24/7 phones. I'm the chair of and a founding member of SOFI. And I want to tell you a bit about the work that we do as wildlife carers and a bit of the history of SOFI and why I'm so passionate about talking to you tonight about considering ongoing support for wildlife. So, I got involved, I moved to Aldgate 13, 14 years ago from the coast, and down on the western side of town, there's not a lot of wildlife. And when I moved up here, I was driving up and down Twunley. I was the marketing manager at St John Ambulance at the time, and I was driving up and down every day, and I saw dead marsupials on the road nearly every day. And I thought to myself, oh, haven't they got... I didn't know what the species was. I knew it was a possum. Haven't they got a pouch? Shouldn't someone be checking those pouches for joeys? And then I thought, well, maybe I should be. So I went and did a training course to actually work out what I should do if I actually found a joey in a pouch that was alive and needed saving. That was nearly 10 years ago, and I actually quit all my paid work. This was going to be my retirement plan. Once I'd done that first course, I was on the phones within months, and then I became a carer about a year later. I trained in possums, and I've moved on to, then I trained in koalas, and now I also do birds. And I'll tell you why we started Sophie, but this was my retirement plan. But the thing is that this sector is so underfunded, there's such a lack of awareness. And I think since the 2019-20 bushfires, people actually care a bit more about wildlife, which is really nice because we know that we're heading down the next mass extinction. And so I quit my job last year, and this is now my early retirement, and I need to raise awareness, especially in areas like the Adelaide Hills Council, where you've probably got the highest density of biodiversity and wildlife in any council area. But there's a couple of councils that I'm talking to. So Sophie was started nearly 5 years ago. In September will be 5 years old, because at the time I was volunteering with another organisation, one that I'm sure that you're all aware of. And after being on their committee or board for a year, I decided that there was no way I could volunteer the next 20 years with an organisation like that, that had very outdated volunteer management practices and no transparency in their financial management. And so we actually put an alternative management committee forward at the AGM, but we weren't successful. And so our plan B was to start Sophie. So Sophie has a skills-based board. We're 100% volunteer. A half of our board comes from industry with the skills to do the job. And all of our rehabilitation practices follow the latest scientific methods. We have a HR manager managing our volunteer program, and our volunteers are supported from the very first day after they attend training and sign up to become a member. So we're now up to 100 plus volunteers, and we are now taking more calls for wildlife rescue than any other organisation in South Australia. We took 5,500 calls in the last 12 months. Does that surprise anyone? 5,500 calls from public for wildlife? I'm blown away, really. And we're not the only organisation that, of course, is helping wildlife. So that's 5,500 just for us. Of those calls, over 50% are for birds. We have so many bird species. About 35% are for possums, and the most common possums that people find are ringtails and brush-tailed possums. All of these, of course, are protected native species. The other possums that we have in this state are pygmy possums. They don't come into care very often. And then the smaller percentages are koalas. A lot of people think that koalas is everything, but koalas are actually a small percentage of animals that come into care, and kangaroos come in before then because a lot of kangaroos get hit by car. Once upon a time, the state government used to attend to those animals that were left still alive on the side of the road with broken legs. The state government doesn't do that anymore. They leave it to us because the risk is too high to send a paid staff member out to euthanise an animal. So our volunteers do it, and we manage that process. There is no support from the state government. I have written to the minister. We've met with the minister. We have not got any funding from the state government. Approaching the federal government would be ridiculous. So I'm now approaching councils to get some funding. So last year, when we went from when we took 5,500 calls, what we found, where we found the operational gap was actually in getting volunteers to pick those animals up. So we get calls from vets who, members of public, have dropped animals in, and now they want them to go to a carer. So vets call us, members of public call us, and then someone has to go out and pick those animals up and get them to the carer. Now, our carers in spring and summer, and I'm one of those people, we're feeding animals every 3 or 4 hours around the clock. So to then be going out and driving hundreds of kilometres every week is just not sustainable. So we do have rescuers that will go out, but you know, a lot of people are volunteering a limited number of hours. So where we decided to fill the gap was by providing a rescue vehicle to be on the road 7 days a week. Now, currently we're recruiting for volunteers. We hope to have that vehicle manned from 9 till 5. But we're looking at $12,000 to $15,000. So we have secured a vehicle. We've raised enough money to buy that because I couldn't get one donated. And now we need to raise $12,000 to $15,000 a year to keep that vehicle on the road. So not only are we doing the job, this is the job of the wildlife that belongs to everybody. We're doing the job and we're raising the money so that we can do the job with no support from government. So you can see I'm fairly passionate about this, and I just can't believe that this state is the only state in Australia that has no government support for the wildlife rescue and rehab sector. So up here we've got the different roles that our volunteers do, and we have got amazing volunteers. I absolutely love working with the people that volunteer with Sophie. We are a values-based organisation, and we did that because of our past experience where there was no values. And I'm sure that the council here is values-based and that you all respect each other and treat each other politely and respectfully. And so we are a values-based organisation as well, and as well as our wildlife rescuers and carers, which I guess are the main operational people in our organisation. We have the box-making team. So we, when we rescue and rehabilitate possums, they need to go out in a box because we don't have enough hollows. So we have a team to make those boxes. We have a team to install those boxes that are trained with safety harnesses and ropes and everything, because what could be a bigger risk than putting someone like me up a ladder holding 6.5 kilo box with 2 kilos of possums in it? What could possibly go wrong? So that was our first risk assessment, and we trained up the box installation team, and we got a grant for their equipment. And then we've got the team, we've got 17 people that run the phones 24/7. And we've just started this year a Possum Reunite team. And that is the most exciting job to do if you can stay outside at night for 3 hours in the cold. Because when joeys come in, there's a good chance, if we've got enough information, that we can reunite those joeys with their mothers. And what better thing to do than put the joeys back with their mums? So we've now put together a reunite team, and we've just got a grant from the Onkaparinga Council to give them some headlamps so that they can go out and spot the possums. And it's a whole process. But when you reunite a joey with its mother and the joey climbs onto its mother's back and off they go to live happily ever after, it's the most amazing feeling, quite addictive really. So what do we do exactly? We rescue injured, sick and orphaned wildlife 24/7. We rehabilitate and return to the wild when we can, but of course there's a lot of relieving suffering. There's animals that can't be saved, and we accept that. But at least if we can relieve suffering, and you know, do you know that most of the calls we get about animals on the side of the road with broken limbs and terrible injuries, most of those calls come in from the person behind the car that hit them. You wouldn't do that to a dog, would you? Or a cat? But it happens all the time with wildlife.
You've got 1 minute, okay.
What was that?
You've got 1 minute. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to flick through some cute photos. These are some of the animals that I personally have rescued. These two were from the 2019-20 bushfires. Phone stats I've gone through. We also have, oh, and thank you. We have, I've just been at Woorabinda today because we've got a wildlife food planting site we put there in 2020. I worked with Steve Brooks from your council. And that is where wildlife carers go to collect, to harvest leaf for the animals in care. Because of course they need to know what they're going to eat when they go back out into the wild. We provide education to vets, our volunteers, of course, and the public. We're prepared for natural disaster. And we have a Walk for Wildlife, which is our annual fundraiser. We started this last year. We raised $16,000 last year. We're hoping to at least double that this year. There's some stats on our calls 2021-22, and you can see that the Adelaide Hills Council, so this is basically a heat map of where most of our calls come in. We provide a free 24/7 rescue service to your constituents, and we need your help to continue. So I don't know how, and this is a question I'm asking you, I don't know how we can ask you to give us a recurrent grant. Now, we have applied for grants with you, and we've got rescue equipment. We will apply for another community grant for you this year. Applying for grants is a whole lot of work, and what we need is money to keep this vehicle on the road. I don't know whether you're going to approve that every year for the next 3 to 5 years until we can create, we're hoping that our Walk for Wildlife will actually become so popular, like the Paws, Million Paws Walk, that we won't need to apply for grants. That's our goal, because we need to minimise the time we spend looking for money so we can maximise the time we spend looking for wildlife. So thank you, and I'm open to questions and willing to accept any advice you're happy to give me.
So does anyone have some questions? I can see here. Councillor Selwood.
Thank you for your presentation and thanks for letting us know what you do. You did mention that we're the only state that doesn't fund this sort of service. How does it work in other states? Is that funded by state governments or local councils?
State governments. Yes.
Thank you. Councillor Parkin and then Councillor Cheetah.
Thank you. Through me, you may, just sort of following on from Councillor's question, and you mentioned in your presentation, which was excellent, by the way, thank you for coming to talk to us, that you hadn't approached the federal government and you didn't think it would be worth doing that. Have you tried talking to Rebecca Sharkey at all? What's the reason that you think it wouldn't be worth doing that?
Thank you, Kirsty, for the question. I think that there are so many wildlife organisations across Australia that it would take years to convince the federal government to, one, come up with the money, and two, how would they distribute that? Yeah, that's my thinking. Mm.
Councillor Cheetah.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for coming and spending the time. Certainly a passion point of mine, and I think resonated with me around the I'm often that second car that stops in some precarious spots to pull something off the road, and unfortunately they often end up at McGill to be euthanised.
Yeah.
We had the Landscape Board recently speak to us, and I just rechecked myself, and it looked like there was some grant opportunities within that as well for grassroots funding, as well as things like insurance coverage for volunteer groups. Is that something that you've pursued and are leveraging at the moment? Because I guess that's an extension of state government initiatives.
I've looked at the landscape grants in the past. I don't think that we're eligible because a lot of them are to do with rehabilitating the environment, not wildlife specifically. Yeah, but I will have another look again. Thank you. Yeah, we're constantly on the lookout for any grants that we can possibly get, and we've got two or three people that's their job. Yeah, but thank you.
Right, thank you, Councillor Pascale.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor. Thanks so much for your presentation. During the 2019-20 bushfires, how have you got any statistics or data around how much work there was in our area for wildlife rescue during that time?
No, in fact, I'd say in the 2019-20 bushfires, probably not that much in this area, because that was Cuddly Creek. The Scott Creek bushfire should have resulted in more wildlife rescue, but that was managed by the state government, Save 'em and PIRZA, and we never saw a single animal come out of that. Yeah, but no, most of the rescues, and I was very heavily involved. Now, Sophie was only a fledgling organisation, not even taking on members at that stage. So I was actually volunteering with another organisation rescuing koalas, because in bushfires, the only thing that comes out with a chance to live is a koala. The kangaroos are shot and nothing else survives. And so there was a lot of publicity around koalas, and a lot of money came in to koala organisations. Now, can I just let you know, the koala organisations don't rescue other species, they call us. So if a koala organisation gets a call for a possum or a bird, they will call us. If you look at the financials through the ACNC website, and ours are there, you will see that a lot of the koala organisations did very, very well in the 2019-20 bushfires. They don't help other species.
So anyone else got a question? If not, I did two things. One is that Cuddly Creek is actually our district area.
Oh, is it?
Adelaide Hills Council is a very large council, and we were the ones mainly affected of all councils
with
the Cuddly Creek fires. So,
apologies.
Yeah, just so if you're thinking of extending your area of interest, please consider it.
Yeah, I'd spent a lot of time in Cuddly Creek.
The other thing was, first of all, I had a question. You talked about the 5,500 animal requests this year from people, and that was unprecedented. Have you got any idea why that is? Is that greater awareness amongst people, climate change or something
else? No, the 5,500 was unprecedented for Sophie because in September, in August last year, after the Fauna Rescue AGM, they lost a huge number of volunteers and they couldn't answer their phones. And so they had an answering machine message that said, and for possums and birds, we can't help you, I'm sorry. And when we found that out through the members of the public, we said that that's crazy. You are the largest wildlife rescue and rehabilitation and one of the oldest in South Australia. You can't just say you can't help people. And they said, well, we don't have the people to answer the phones. We don't have carers, rescuers. And I said, well, we will give you our number because we had the technology and we had the people. I said, you can put our number on your answering machine message. Our number's been on their answering machine message for possums and birds since September last year.
Yeah, so you were getting a lot of redirection, essentially.
We're getting a lot of redirection. That's why we're getting so many calls. So I'd say that this number of calls is probably pretty normal for the state.
All right. Anybody else got a question? Oh, sorry, Councillor Tudy, you had another question. Then we need to wrap, okay.
Just one more thing came to mind. In terms of the operation, what are some of the major costs involved? What are the big impact costs that make it challenging?
Well, we've actually not built a rehabilitation facility because that would create a fixed cost. So our costs are actually minimal. I mean, really, our operating costs are about $30,000 a year, and most of that goes back to the carers to pay for wildlife food, your normal sort of, you know, marketing, internet costs. Our telephone service costs us $5,000 a year because we use a soft phone service so people can answer the phones from wherever they happen to be. The car will be one of our biggest fixed costs that we'll be taking on this year. And $15,000 a year is our estimate.
All right, thank you. So we spoke earlier, Marina, and you've acknowledged that you do understand that council generally does not have a policy of recurrent funding, and that you rightly identified that we have a community grant, which is, as you said, coming up August, September time, and of course you're very welcome to be applying for that. It doesn't mean, though, that policy can't change, that if people are very passionate about that, that's something that might happen, but it's definitely not where we are at the minute. The other thing I was just going to encourage was, and I'm sure you're doing this, but if you're going out to corporate sponsors or looking for grants, council itself, we can offer to help you write the grant, because I know sometimes that can be time-consuming and difficult. And the other thing is we can write letters of support to a sponsor saying what a valuable service you're providing. So if you hadn't thought of that, that is something we can do. The other thing was you talked about your volunteers making lots of possum boxes. There are also council groupings. Now, I'm not absolutely sure on this, but I think maybe the people at the hut or some of our other volunteers actually do that sort of thing, and they may be worth approaching for assistance for some of those like non-wildlife but necessary parts of your organisation. So I'm going to leave it there and wish you well, and thank you for coming to present to us, and we'll keep an ear out. The other thing, and the administration could take a note of this, is that when you do your walk for wildlife in October, we can actually possibly advertise that on our website.
That
might
be fantastic.
Something that could help. So I'll ask them to consider it, and I might be wrong, but that might be something we can do.
Okay, and all who right. would I follow up with for that? Or could they email me?
If you go through to our community development group, go through to our main switch, ask for our community development director, and there should be somebody at the end of that line.
Thanks very much, Mayor. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We nobody's in our public forum this evening to speak. We don't have any presentations this evening. We don't have any questions on notice, but we do have item 11 on our agenda, which is a motion on notice. The motion is about the White Rock Quarry looking for us to be sending a letter, follow-up letter. So I'll ask Councillor Osterstock, it's your motion. Would you like to introduce it? Is there anything else in addition? Is something new, or you want to just highlight something there?
Yeah, if I could, through you, Mayor. Probably the one comment that's not made in the report is that from an administrative sense, we're actually totally supportive of the recommendation that's contained within it. So I don't think we actually flagged that.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
So, Councillor Stock, over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Members, you recall when I last brought this issue to the Chamber, it's a flow-on from probably it eventuated in the last Council, as I've detailed in the background information, where several members went to a public forum at Burnside Council, and there was about over 200 people there, effectively protesting against the massive expansion that is planned for this site and the impacts that it potentially will have on the surrounding flora and fauna. This motion seeks some clarification from the last response we received from the Department of Energy and Mining. The significant aspect to this resolution is whether or not the Minister has the legislative power to override the Director of Mines should he approve the revised mine operations plan. Members might be aware that the Minister did in fact exercise some legislative power for a proposed new mine, a gold mine in our area, and adjacent to the Bird in the Hand winery, and the Minister knocked that proposed mine back. So the purpose of this motion, as printed on the screen, points 1 through 2, is seeking additional information from the Minister, or from the Mr. Zammit, the Acting Executive Director, and once that reply comes back to this Council, that response is to be tabled at an ordinary Council meeting. I'll move the recommendation as printed on the screen there, points 1, 1A, B, C, D and 2, and I seek a seconder.
Thank you, Councillor Grant. So you're offering to second? Thank you. And would you like to speak to the item?
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, I would like to briefly thank you to Councillor Osterstock for this motion. I did attend the public meeting Councillor Osterstock referred to, and the residents there were alarmed at the proposed expansion of the mine, which under the legislation this mine exists. Would allow the mine to extend up to the boundary of the property, which was the edge of residential blocks neighbouring the mine site. And there are a number of serious concerns people raised. One that comes to mind, and the then Senator Rex Patrick had considerable concern about this, and that was the fact that EPA data on silicon dust levels on the properties neighbouring the mine were not made public. That money's that's collected up from monies from the public purse, and the fact that that information wasn't available, of course, to residents was extremely alarming. So, in short, they don't know the effect of the silicon dust on their health, let alone what it's going to be like when the mine's expanded. So anyway. I certainly support the motion. I hope other members of the Chamber do so.
All right, thank you. Is there any debate on the item? It's fairly simple. Thanks. Councillor Pascali.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor. I don't have any debate. I actually have some questions. Just on a bit of background, what is Burnside Council actually doing, and have we done anything with Burnside Council in the past in advocating around this?
We have in public, but I don't know if you wish to take that up. Is there any more that you can add that you know about the council?
Yes, former councillor Grant Piggott and Henry Davis were former Burnside councillors prior to the last election, and they actually facilitated the public meeting that was held in down at the Burnside Town Hall. Who is driving this issue on the behalf of Burnside at this point in time? I don't know, but they were initially approached by Aldana residents, which this proposed expansion takes in a small area of Burnside. Members will note that this mine is wholly and solely in Adelaide Hills Council. So they actually invited us to come to the public meeting. I myself have been dealing off and on with former Greens candidate, Jim Batts.
Bastiris?
Correct, yeah. I actually bumped into him at the chemist the other day and said that I was bringing this to the council. And he was quite excited about that. But where Burnside's position is at this point in time, I don't know.
All right, thank you. Had another question?
Yes, so just to follow up from that, would it be, because the pollution that will come from this would impact Burnside Council as well, so would it be advantageous for us to at least sound out Burnside about either co-signing or being a part of this as well? So there's two councils approaching the minister.
Look, my suggestion is that if you're supportive of this, to let this go through, but we could certainly copy that through to Mayor Monceau, which I occasionally, I actually have done that in the past. I've let her know what we're doing so that they can then either follow it up themselves and they will know that they've got our support already if they're going along the same lines. That's what my suggestion would be, so it doesn't hold it up. Okay, so anybody else, question or anything? All right, do you need a write a reply? All right, so members, we will just vote, please, all of those in favour of sending a follow-up letter. Thank you very much. That's carried unanimously. All right, thank you, Councillor Stock, for the motion. We'll now go to item 12 in our agenda. This is our decision item. So the first one is a statement of commitment about the Our Watch Prevention Toolkit implementation plan. Now, Ms Sheba took carriage of this. Would you like to come up to the hot seat? And so is there anything you want to highlight or add to this, or happy to take questions? Okay, all right. So now I'm going to look towards you, Councillor Pascali, because this has been your passionate area. Is this, are you willing to move a motion with regard to this?
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, yes, I would like to move the motion as printed. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want to talk to that motion?
I think we've had a lot of discussion about this motion, and we had a really great workshop. Is all I actually wanted to do with this motion is thank the staff for the work that they have put into this and for organising Professor Sarah Went to both not only the councillors but to staff as well. And I think that was a really significant piece of work that she brought with us, so thank you. And I just wanted to acknowledge that while we may not end violence against women and their children by undertaking this work, we recognise that we are a local government at the coalface of communities, and with that have pathways to which we can assist women and children to feel safe in our community. And I just want to acknowledge the lived experience of those in this chamber and for everyone who's shared their experiences and commitment to this space. It's really integral, so thank you.
All right, thank you, Councillor Pascali. So you're looking for a seconder? Thank you. Councillor Gill, would you like to talk to the item?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Just to echo Councillor Pascali, I'd like to thank the staff and administration for all the efforts they've put into getting pulling this together. I think it's a very worthwhile toolkit for us to actually have in our to be offered to our public and our community. And as Councillor Pascali said, it gives us an opportunity to create pathways for people to get to safe places. So I recommend the motion.
All right, thank you. Is anybody else wanting to debate the item? It's fairly clear what's been asked here. Would you like to write a reply? All right, thank you. So let's vote, please. Members, all those in favour of this item, All right, thank you. That's carried unanimously, and I think that's a really interesting new way forward for this council, not an area we've been that involved with. So that's really, I think, exciting for us. So thank you for bringing that up, and thank you for passing it unanimously. So let's go on to our next item, which is the 12.2. This is the Code of Practice for Meeting Procedures. Now, look, we have been through these on a couple of workshops. This is in, you can see it's actually in three parts. I'm proposing we move it in block unless anyone has an issue with that or there's a particular one they want to pull out. If not, I'll look for a mover. Thank you. Is that you, Councillor Grant? Are you moving the item?
Yeah, as printed, Your Worship.
Thank you. And a seconder, thank you. Councillor Mudge, would you like to speak? Sorry, I didn't offer you the right to speak. Did you want to speak?
Oh, I'll just say we've workshopped this extensively. I think this is should be a matter of course, thank you, Your Worship.
All right, thank you. Councillor Mudge, did you want to say anything? All right, thank you. All right, so so I don't think we then need to go. Sorry, I beg your pardon. Yes, sorry. Councillor Parkin.
Yeah, thank you, Your Worship. Just through you, I wanted to thank the staff for taking this to workshop. I was one of the people who requested the workshop. And I did that because I think it's really important for us to understand sometimes the whys behind why we do things, particularly for new councils and councillors. And actually, even for me, I wasn't sure why we needed this policy in addition to a whole bunch of other sort of LGA policies. And for me to understand the why of that and to be able to sort of take the time to sort of really pull it apart and investigate it and understand it was really valuable. So I wanted to thank council staff for doing that and then commend the motion. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Anybody else wishing to debate? All right, I'll go back. Councillor Grant, do you wish to wrap up? All right, okay. So I'm going to then ask, please, all of those in favour of this motion. All right, thank you. That's a relief because we needed 2/3 of you to support that particular motion and we were down on numbers, so I was getting a bit nervous there. So thank you very much, carried unanimously. Okay, so moving on, the next item is the status report. I'm just looking for somebody to move that we receive a note. Thank you. I've got Councillor Gill and Councillor Marger, either of you wishing to speak? All right, thank you. Anybody else wanting to debate? All right, we'll go straight to a vote on it, please. All those in favour? All right, thank you. Carried unanimously. So, item 13, we don't have any administration reports. We have no... I need to ask. Do we have any questions without notice from anyone? Thank you. Councillor Ostock.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just following on from our presentation from the Wildlife Foundation, does this council... I'll go back a step. If I ring up the council customer service line and report a dead kangaroo or an injured kangaroo on the side of a road within the Adelaide Hills Council, what action does the customer service people take in response to that? In response to a customer complaint such as that.
All right, I'll have to. Who would like to answer that one? Who's the best person? I'm indicating it's not me.
I'm happy for that to be taken on notice.
Through you, Your Worship. Apparently, everybody's looking at me. Depending on which road it is, depending on whether or not it's a dit road. If it is us, then generally we liaise with Pete's quick response team in terms of picking anything up off the road that we need to, and we do have, let's say, holding facilities for animals that have left this mortal earth. Yes.
If the animal's alive, what do we do? Like, do we respond to, does our council respond to injured animals on the side of the road? And if, how do we manage that complaint?
Mr. Vice.
Through Your Worship, thanks, Councillor Osterstock. Just off the top of my head,
injured animals that are still alive, we will refer them to Fauna Rescue SA, RSPCA, Animal Welfare League, Adelaide and Hills Koala Rescue, and following on from this evening's presentation, I believe Sophie will be added to that list.
Thank you. The second question, do we as a council provide any recurrent funding to any animal rescue service? Is that built into our budget in any fashion?
I don't believe so, no. But I'll ask administration again. No, it's not our policy to do that. For new members, just on this subject, I understood that native animals that were injured and found could be taken to a vet, and that the vet was obliged by state law to actually look after that animal. Does anybody know if that's correct? Is that correct?
That first-hand experience.
Yeah, okay. So I just wanted to let people know that, because that might be useful.
Could I just, perhaps that should be on our website for when...
Yeah, that's a good idea. And... the other thing I was going to say for new members is during the Cuddly Creek fire, there were, as you know, a lot of animals died and injured. Now, generally, council doesn't go onto private land, and Pete, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but we, on that occasion, because there was such a large loss of life and people need to bury their animals, well, sometimes on site or have them removed, council actually did go in and help those community members. It's not something, you know, we're obliged to, but that is something that we did in an emergency. All right, any more questions without notice? No, okay, any more motions without notice? All right, so we go through the report. So we've got council members. Oh, I beg your pardon. Yes, I can do that here. I beg your pardon, yeah. So let's, all right, so what I want to do is, can I ask that I'll get you to just help me out on doing this? I want to thank, that council thanks David Waters for taking on the role, because obviously he had to put his hand up to that, taking on the role of acting CEO, and for the past, I think it's 9 months now, working in that role with elected members and the rest of the staff, in particular during an election period and the induction of a new council. Now, in addition, we would like to thank those members of staff, in particular Rebecca Shepherd, who then took up the role of acting director for community capacity. Now, let me put this out to people. Does anyone else want to add anything in this? Is there something that you feel we should be saying? Councillor Stock.
Madam Mayor, it's totally up to you. I support the sentiment. I think it would be better if there are two separate motions, one thanking Mr. Waters and one thanking Ms. Shepherd. I think that would be more appropriate than combining it all into one. Whether with respect to both Mr. Waters and Ms. Shepherd, whether you would wish to use some words that they perform their duties exceptionally during that period, or some words along those lines. I think that would add more impetus to the motions, Madam Mayor.
All right, I'm quite happy to split it and do it separately, but I'm going to end up repeating myself by doing what you suggested. We can say, look, let's go back then. So in addition, let's just make that a second item, but I'm going to move them in probably in block.
That would be exactly the same.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We cut and paste that. But we do also need to say, so go back to the, we're doing this as two separate motions, remember? Yeah, sorry, Ms. Grimes, I've mucked you around a bit. Okay, so let's go back to the first one. So that's going to be two separate items. So we'll need a 15.1.1 and a 15.1.2. And so after new council at the end of that, we can say,
fine.
No, that's fine. No, we can do that. Just carry on and perform their functions in an exemplary fashion.
Excellent motion.
So, Ms. Grimes, we'll need to just pop that down to the bottom bit as well. Thank you. All right, now, thank you. So I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Thank you. I've got a Councillor Grant and then Councillor Mudge. We'll do this for the first one. So all those, do you wish to speak to these items? No, all right, thank you. So thank you, sir. I'll just go to elected members and ask you to vote on these items, please. The first one, all those in favour. Thank you very much. That's carried unanimously. And let's go down to our second one. We can move, looking for another mover. Thank you, Councillor Selwood and Councillor Parkin. So thank you everyone for doing my job for me. And I'll ask again, anyone wishing to debate? No, thank you. So all those in favour of this item. All right, thank you very much again. Passed unanimously. Look. So I think we'll just cut over to the side for a minute, and you haven't actually, I think we gave David applause before, but I think we're going to give you some applause. I realise everyone has to step up, and not everyone may remember this, but I did thank everyone else earlier in emails that it's always goes all the way down. So there's a lot of people involved and doing a lot of work, not just up and down, but sideways as people take on new roles that they haven't done before. So we very much appreciate the flexibility of all of that. So thank you very much. Now we can move on to, and thank you for reminding me. So we move on to item 16 on our agendas, which is reports. Anybody wanting to ask any questions or make any comments? I'll do the first one, and I'll just tell you that the LGA for the first time decided to run what they called a mayor and CEO forum. So they did this last week where they had a dinner at the Novotel in the Barossa, and the following day they had a whole day where people got together. And our new CEO, Greg Georgopoulos, very kindly agreed to be part of this, even though he hadn't been on board. But unfortunately, as Ms. Grimes would know, all of the ferries from KI were cancelled for 3 days. So unfortunately, he couldn't participate in it. So I have got lots of notes for him and pictures and comments. I've made contacts and networks for him. But it's the first time they've done this. And there were more than half of the councils in South Australia sent one, if not two, representative. Most sent two. There were only a few of us who didn't have two. And it was very well received, and so I'm hoping they're going to do this again. So anybody else? Councillor Selwood, anything you wanted to mention there? All right, thank you. Can we see that on there?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. All right. So do we want to add that in just as a verbal report
just
after?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So Councillor Cheetah went to the National Association of Local Government conference in Canberra with myself, and he's got a report that he would just like to speak to.
Thank you, Mayor. I did not get the invitation to all of the dinners, but I was privileged. Well, I was privileged to attend the quiz night, which was entertaining to see fellow elected members letting their hair down, too much hair down. I do have a written report that will be available for your enthusiastic reading, but I just wanted to speak to it just because I do want to thank the council for endorsing me to attend as a first term councillor to really engage, I guess, in local government, in the sector, and get a better understanding of what we do in the context of a broader nation. In the report, I touch on some of the strategic goals that are within our strategic plan and how I tried to look at my experiences through those lenses. There are a few key themes that were consistent across the broader assembly, as well as the regional specific area which I attended. And they included community resilience grant funding, specifically around the Regional Development Fund, and some uncertainty in that space. And electrification of a lot of the work gear and equipment. One of the things I did take away that was, I think, quite prevalent was a sense of optimism in community resilience. The nation's had a lot of issues with the natural disasters, especially with bushfires and flooding. There were some real success stories to come out of that, and many of them aligned with a lot of the activities and strategies that we have in place as a council, but even more so some of the dialogues we've had around our upcoming strategic plan certainly reinforce some of those goals and success stories for community resilience. We did have an opportunity to meet with Senator Tony Sheldon, as well as a couple of federal members of Parliament. We got to ask a question about Amy Gillett Bikeway. And given I'm sitting in Councillor Herman's seat, it felt prudent to reference that. It was good to see understand how the different layers of government play their role and what our expectations can be as elected members from our state and federal governments, and also what we can do to contribute to state and federal government policy. Piece of note that reinforced some of my own thinking and experiences was really around the sector-wide change in the electrification. The exhibitors had lots of electric things and stuff, including mowers, light trucks, heavy trucks, passenger vehicles, as well as some opportunities in the public and private charging of these items, which I was able to pass on to Mr. Bias as well. So I guess a really, really good opportunity for me to reinforce some of the things I did understand were happening in the sector, but also learn, I think, some of the broader space, which I hope to bring as valuable professional development to the council.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Cheetah. Does anyone have any questions for Councillor Cheetah on that? I think that's fairly comprehensive, thank you. Actually, I'll just follow on something you mentioned as well about the emergency management side, and that is that at the Mayor and CEO's Forum, I was approached by the Mayor of the Adelaide Plains, who actually wanted to thank Peter Bice's team for their assistance in helping them understand a lot of the different layers of emergency management, and they were extremely complimentary and wanted me to pass that on. So thank you very much, staff, for that. All right then, thank you. Do we have any 16.2, any other reports there? Or we can go straight through to CEO's report. Okay, so I'm going to hand over to Acting, and what have you been up to in the last 24 hours, sir?
quite a lot, actually, if I could, Mayor. Look, just
we've got a lot on tonight, so as David would probably say, let's keep this one short. I did want to say I had a really good conversation today with our CEO appointed that will be arriving next Monday. Lots of work happening within the organisation to make sure that we give him a very smooth induction into the organisation and a warm welcome. So we've had a... I found him... it was my first contact with Greg. I found him incredibly good on the phone and very, you know, he came across as a very genuine individual that was keen to, really keen to get on board and have his time with us. I also want to flag, I guess, from next Monday, same as he arrives, Lachlan departs on leave. Lachlan will be... Lachlan will be back.
No coincidence, by the way.
Lachlan's away for 3 weeks. He'll be back after the 4th, but that would be the 7th of August he'll return. In that time, Melissa's down there, will be carrying the gauntlet for quite a lot with the arrival of a new CEO. And obviously, if elected members could, let's just say, have some empathy towards Melissa's workload and maybe think about what questions she can hold for Lachlan when he gets back and which ones you can have for her in the interim, that would be appreciated. And also thank you to the council members that have responded, which I think is pretty much everybody, but you've got back to me about the 19th of August. It is, and that's the Woodside Swimming Pool. It is a really, really important one for us in a strategic direction sense. Given ultimately, I think you'll find, personal view here, it can be a jewel in the crown for the Adelaide Hills at, I think it is actually already, but it will also end up being at some point in time a fairly significant expenditure item that we will need to be thinking about from a renewal perspective. And the more familiar we are with that moving forward, the better off we're positioned. And yes, we elected our executive, who I'm sure are keen to cook you a barbecue lunch, and make sure you've got some cake on that on the 19th. It will be worth it, I promise you. Anyway, oh, sorry, Pete.
I can assure you I'll personally taste test everything. Sure it's yeah.
Anyway, enough from me. Thank you.
Well, I need to add that ought to be a very, very special cake because I won't be there, but that is my birthday. So you may eat it on my behalf for me. All right, thank you very much, everyone. So let's now go on to item 17. That's our reports of our committees. So we didn't have a CAP yet this month, nor an audit committee. We did have a CEO performance review panel meeting. So the first thing we need to do is for the minutes of that meeting to be approved, please. So I'm looking for a mover. Thank you, Councillor Grant. And a seconder, please. Thank you, Councillor Parkin. Anyone wanting to debate this item? All right, so I'm going to go straight through to a vote, please. All those in favour? All right, thank you. Carried unanimously. Now, our next item there is the CEO Performance Review Panel have made recommendations to Council from their meeting, and these are their recommendations, which I take it that you've all read the report. So, again, I'm needing a mover. Thank you again, Councillor Grant. Seconded, Councillor Gill. Councillor Grant, are you wanting to speak to these items?
Yeah, if I could briefly, Your Worship. I will just inform the Chamber, and I'm sure you've read the report, but there's just a couple of matters we're addressing here. One is determining that the CEO met their targets, which they did. Some of the targets were perhaps well-crafted, to be met, so even though some of the key construction milestones for Fabric were not achieved, they weren't essentially part of the target, the target being to progress the construction and report on progress. And I'm not uncomfortable with that. It's an operational matter. The CEO is there to do that, progress the construction, and not make things necessarily happen that may be completely outside the CEO's control. And this is something we're going to apply a bit more thought into, and that is creating milestones that really are the CEO's responsibility rather than more operational matters. And the other part of this, similarly with the dog and cat facility, we know that things changed quite dramatically when the RSPCA and the Animal Welfare League stopped taking animals, so that milestone had to be quickly adapted. That's a good thing. We want the CEO to be adaptable and not just try and rigorously meet a milestone that becomes outdated or irrelevant. And the other thing I just want to mention, and it relates to the Remuneration Tribunal's determination, and if you didn't understand what happened there, the Remuneration Tribunal of South Australia sets the remuneration levels for CEOs of a whole swathe of local governments, councils, by some sort of a categorisation, which we don't really understand. The contract offered to our CEO, the remuneration is technically outside of the band, but if we use their method of assessing the value of a motor vehicle, it falls within inside the band. So it's not, it fits using their criteria. We just use different criteria. And we're laying out the program for the CEO's probationary period. And I think this is an enormously important process, and that is to settle the CEO into the role, make sure they settle in rather than being peppered by demands when they're not necessarily acquainted with the organisation properly. So, and I think it's really important we allow the CEO to do that, to settle into the role, and also we're on probation. It's not just the CEO, but this organisation is. So I think we have an exceptional CEO, and I've got no doubt everyone here will agree that once they get to know him. Our final point is we're asking for a bit of money to use a consultant. You know, I'm not a fan of consultants in the main, but again, in order to help us craft good performance review standards and key performance indicators, we want to use a consultant to do that because that's just outside our expertise. So I commend this motion to the Chamber.
Thank you. Councillor Gill, is there any thunder left for you then? Okay. All right. So I have, you have questions or debate? You have a question. Thank you, Councillor Selwood.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, through you. I have two questions. The first one is that given the KPIs will be set before the strategic plan, I'm interested in what the CEO Performance Review Panel suggests the KPIs will be aligned with.
Don't forget the KPIs will be for this year, the rest of this year's strategic plan. The strategic plan we're doing is 24-25.
So will the KPIs being set now for the new CEO only take us to the end of 2024?
No,
2023, sorry.
That's my understanding, is that correct?
Through you, Your Worship. So the KPIs are going to take the new CEO up until 1 year into his contract, so till the 17th of July 2024. And they, without preempting what the CEO-PRP will be deciding, they will be predominantly focused on performance against the CEO position description. As opposed to necessarily any particular projects, although there may be a project or two that finds their way into the KPIs. If I could just elaborate a little bit more. One of the things that the panel did talk about was that there is the CEO, there is the quarterly performance report, which provides all members, including the CEO-PRP, with status against every project in the ABP. So that might be something that the CEO Performance Review Panel spends a bit more time looking at to get a sense of how the CEO is performing across the range of things that have been adopted in the ABP on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, and a supplementary.
Just one more question. So that kind of feeds into what I was going to ask anyway. So it seemed to me that the existing KPIs were very project-oriented and that they were aligned with particular discrete projects. I'm just wondering if the Performance Review Panel are considering more operational targets that do align with the position description as Mr. Miller just outlined.
Well, we're moving more away from individual projects like these into a broader expanse of the entire raft of the CEO's responsibilities. But was Councillor Grant, did I see your hand up? Were you wanting to say something? So you had a question, Councillor Parkin? Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I'd also just like to enter the debate, and as a member of the CEO Performance Review Panel, I'd like to address some of the points that you raised. This is my second time on this panel, and my recollection from the first time is that before the CEO Performance Review Panel met to discuss specific targets for the CEO, we did consult with council and members of the council about anything they thought they would like to feed in and that they thought was important. And given that the panel has been voted in by you to represent you to work with the CEO, I think that consultation is really important. So feel free to reach out and let us know anything that you think that is really, you know, a burning thing for you that you think is really important. That's what we're here to do, is to represent you on that panel. So please do that. If you feel anything that is missing, if you feel anything that you would like to see on there, just please reach out. But my understanding also is that there are going to be two sets of targets. Just to reiterate what Councillor Grant was saying, there will be a set of targets just designed to aid the new CEO settle in, and they will sort of be separate to the sort of ongoing CEO stuff that sits in there, which really forms the broader direction of the council. So, yeah, your feedback and input is going to be really important.
So this is a little bit of a transition period of moving from one way of having done it in the past to moving to slightly different ways of doing it, and remembering at the end of the day, the CEO's prime job is to deliver our strategic plan. Sorry, somebody else have a hand up? You decided you're okay, Councillor Ostersock?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you very much. Okay. I just want to double check. We have questions over. Okay, Councillor Grant, did you want to write a reply?
Yeah, just briefly, thank you, Your Worship, and thank you, Councillor Selwood, for that question. And that's an important one. If you refer to page, is that 168 there, that number, of the agenda, and this is what I didn't mention was this was our first performance review panel with an expanded quarterly performance review and development process, and that was getting the CEO to report on all of the key responsibilities set out in the CEO position description, and that starts on page 168. That's the core stuff, advice and relationships with council members, leadership and management of employees, etc. We can craft that more and come up with metrics that are less a statement of activities and more a measure. And these are really good discussions to have. That's why I think that, and you know, the process that's being set out as required by the contract with the new CEO is to, with him, develop the key performance indicators. But crafting the right ones, I think, is really important. So this probationary period and developing the milestones, I think is critical, because it helps get the CEO understand what is wanted, and allow the CEO to really find his feet and get up and running well. And then, you know, then we're going to be set for years to come. Well, this is the hope.
All right, thank you. So members will vote on the item. All those in favour, please. All right, thank you very much. Carried unanimously. All right, everyone, we don't have any confidential items, so our next meeting is Tuesday, 25th of July, here at Mount Barker Road, Stirling, with our new CEO. So see you then. I'll close the meeting at 7:39, I believe I've got on there, and invite you all to stay for our other presentations. Thank you very much. Thank you.